I'm delighted to be here in Chesterfield with guitar legend Alex Skolnick. Hi Alex, welcome to the UK and Chesterfield. Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good to be here. Good, thank you, yeah. Okay, so you're at the start of your Europe Unbound tour, this being your second date tonight.
Correct.
How are you all feeling about the show and what can the fans expect?
Oh, we're excited. Yeah, everybody's so enthusiastic. I guess it's not a regular stop for bands,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Chesterfield?
No, so it's, not at all.
So for many, many are used to traveling to come see other sea shows, and we're coming right to your doorstep here.
Yeah.
So
fantastic.
Just the enthusiasm has been really nice, and everybody at the venue is really nice, and nice to see the town. We don't get to.
We've seen.
We love London, but we know London well. It's nice to see a place that we're not less familiar with. The guys in my band have never been here.
So. Ah, cool. Have you seen the Crooked Spire?
Yes. Yeah, we were talking about it.
That's great, yeah. That's what we're famous for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. What can the fans expect from your show? Because it's got your new material, obviously.
Yeah. Well, this is, I have a couple different personas on guitar. And this one is there, I guess, when I started doing this type of music professionally, it was really a matter of, taking the music that I was doing off stage, if I wasn't, supporting Judas Priest or Megadeth, I was listening to and playing a lot of jazz guitar, blues guitar, instrumental jazz rock, like Jeff Beck. That's always been a part of my it's always informed my playing, but with this project you really get to hear those influences directly. And the guys in my band are both pros. We've played together a long time, but their first job is improvisation. That's what they come from, and they sort of discovered metal through, even though they've owned metal records, and they kind of went through phases as young listeners. They're more like what you'd call jazz musicians, but they can bring it. They can bring the energy. So it's a lot of fun. There's people that come to check out these shows that are curious, that aren't really familiar with this kind of music, and most of the time they seem surprised. They can enjoy that. We played last night in Southampton. And, a lot of new people. First time the trio's played there. And a lot of folks who said, they've never had that experience of sitting, and just listening to music. As opposed to, just being, being bombarded by riffs and high energy, which is great too, but it's a different experience.
Very different. Okay, so your new album, Live Unbound, is your fifth album, but your first live one. So can you tell me a bit more about it? I know there's two brand new tracks on it, isn't there? Unbound and Culture Shock.
There was there were two main motivations behind this album. One, that it was time to do a new album. But it's also been hard, admittedly, it's been hard to get into the studio. Largely because of scheduling. So, in addition to Testament being very busy, I'm involved with numerous other projects. I play with a bass player named Stuart Ham, who's well known for his work with Joe Satriani. And we started playing a lot again. We first played together in the 90s. He was my first instrumental gig. And we started playing together again, and we actually have a show. We just played in L.A. at the Baked Potato. We're playing in June with Chad Wackerman on drums, a great drummer. So I got busy with him. I did an acoustic record called Planetary Coalition. I got busy, of course, Testament's touring, and that's all. That always keeps me busy. And then Metal Allegiance is this all-star group. We did this very involved record where not only was I one of the main writers, but, in In Testament, I don't need to think as much about recording the riffs, because, you know, we have Eric for that.
Yeah.
I do some of them, but this, the Metal Allegiance record, that's all me playing the riffs. So
yeah.
I was the riff guy. And anyway, that was a very busy project. So in the last couple of years, it's just been really busy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I had these new songs. I knew I wanted to do them. But I've also, we've never done a live record with the trio. And some of these songs, we've been playing for a while. I've been with these guys over 10 years.
Yeah.
The songs develop live. And I think releasing them now, recorded live, it's almost like releasing new songs because they've gone to such a, you know, they're so road tested.
Mm.
And we've developed these really cool improvisations that weren't there when we first recorded the music.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my favorite moments is in, you know, we do a version of Dream On.
Yes, I was going to ask you about
and
that.
And we channel, but, you know, we used to just play it and do our, and we have a unique arrangement of it.
Mm.
You know, you definitely won't mistake it for the original.
Yeah.
But the way we do it now, we go to some places that we never went.
Right.
I think when I first did it, I was really trying to prove I could play jazz guitar and play softly and elegantly, which is fun, and that was part of the purpose. But now there is that element, but it also, there's parts where we channel Jimi Hendrix and the Mahavishnu Orchestra, vintage George Benson, and all kinds of stuff.
Real mix,
And all, I think it all got captured really well on this.
That was great, So talking of covers, you mentioned you've done Aerosmith's Dream On and a super long version of Scorpion's Still Loving You as well.
Yeah, well, that's another one that originally wasn't like that, and it sort of developed from doing live shows.
Yeah.
So now it has a whole blues component.
So how do you choose which songs to cover? Are they just favorites that, you know, ones that you all like, or any particular reason?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I have to like.
If
I can be perfectly honest.
Of course, yeah.
But also, we haven't done any new covers in a while. Pretty much, I'm much more interested in doing original music.
Yeah.
But when we were doing them, and we still love to play them live, but I think we're leaning more towards being an original band. But I think when we first started doing them, it was a matter of tunes that had tunes that would work, because not every tune would work. There has to be a really good melody, a strong melody.
Yeah,
because a lot of most of the jazz repertoire is built on these standard tunes. A lot of them were old show tunes. Sort of the 20th century, early 20th century show tunes that they had these amazing melodies, very singable. You know, you think of songs like Autumn Leaves or. Even Over the Rainbow, right, from The Wizard. Everybody knows that one.
Yeah.
What a melody, right?
Yeah.
And metal is not exactly known for its melody, for its vocal melody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's more about the riff.
Yeah.
But I think part of what we want to do is prove that there are amazing melodies in this. So the first song that we started covering was a song by the Scorpions. And the Scorpions were a great example of amazing melodies.
Yeah.
The first tune we did was No One Like You.
Right.
And then we later ended up doing Still Loving You, which that's probably our favorite one to play.
Yeah.
We also did Blackout. Judas Priest, Electric Eye, that has an amazing melody. We did a very unique arrangement of that.
Yeah.
You don't know until we start playing the melody that song. So it needs to have a strong vocal melody. It needs to fit with some type of groove that will be fun to open up and improvise over.
Yeah.
You know, and in some cases that's a swing jazz groove, like Detroit Rock City by Kiss.
Yeah.
And that was more of a swing jazz groove with No One Like You. It was more of a bossa nova with, you know, the Electric Eye. It's very Latin jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah, with every single one, I think, you know, we try to touch upon some type of groove that we might play if it was a standard jazz tune or an original based on that style of music. But we can fit it to the melody and make it recognizable. And then, I wanted to, since it's sort of a tribute, I want to sort of pay tribute to tunes that everybody can agree on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, you know, it's a classic tune. You know, it's not the album that, you know, the lineup changed or anything like that. You know, in the case of the one Metallica tune we did was Fade to Black.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to, we're not going to do I Disappear or something like that.
You know,
it's, Kiss. I mean, nobody's going to argue about Detroit Rock City.
No.
People are going to argue whether, you know, new Kiss versus old Kiss.
No, that's a classic, yeah. Okay, so you've stated that Live Unbound says that you don't have much use for limitations, and as you've touched on, as an artist, it must give you a great sense of freedom being able to create this kind of work that you do in the Alex Skolnick Trio. Such a change from your Testament side.
It just feels good. Mm. It feels good, and it just feels very honest.
Mm.
And, you know, if you see me playing with either Testament or Metal Legions, I can't fake it. I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
And I'm really enjoying it. But I also, a long time ago, still in my teens, I decided I still want to develop as a musician.
Yeah.
I don't want my growth to be stunted.
Mm.
And, you know, if somebody is only interested in playing that music and listening to that music, that's fine.
Mm.
If that makes you happy. The problem is, you know, I was a big fan. As much as I was a fan of Van Halen, I was also a fan of Jeff Beck.
Mm.
And, you know, the musicians that Jeff Beck was a fan of, like John McLaughlin. Charles Mingus, I mean, one of Jeff Beck's most well-known tunes is Goodbye Pork Pie Hat, which is by Charles Mingus, who's a giant in the jazz world.
Yeah.
So I wanted to know about that music. And just the more I learned about that music, and I was listening to it all the time, and I kind of felt like, you know, I put so much work into guitar technique and being able to, you know, shred and play fast and know the music theory. It just seemed a shame to, you know, really like this music, whether it was by Mingus or Miles Davis, and not be able to play it.
Yeah.
Not be able to get with a horn player or a piano player and say, hey, let's jam on a tune. I didn't know it would take years. I mean, that's why I was on hiatus from performing heavy rock shows for a long time because...
Mm.
I didn't know if I was ever going to do it again. I figured I probably would, but only if I could get to the point. Only once I got to the point where I felt I had the other side developed.
Yeah.
And had done it so much that I wouldn't lose it by getting back into the hard and heavy side of things.
Yeah. Now you seem to have got a good balance.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's great. You know, I just came back from Japan, and I just did this great gig with the Stuart Hamm Band, and I've got shows coming up with Jane Getter, who's a singer and guitarist. I played on her record, and she's got members of the bands from people who played with Miles Davis, keyboardist Adam Holtzman, and Chad Wackerman on drums, and Mark Egan from Pat Metheny. So it's like getting to play with all these great people.
Yeah,
last year I taught with at a bass camp put on by Warwick. I played with Dennis Chambers and Alfonso Johnson. These are like, you know, some of my favorite musicians. But, after this, I'm going to jump on tour with Testament, Sepultura, and Prong.
Yes, I was just going to mention that.
And to me, it's all, you know what I mean?
It's great.
It's cool. Huge, it's all cool music. And it's
all... Yeah, yeah. Any more news coming up from Testament? Because obviously you're doing all America, aren't you, as you said?
We're sort of at the early album cycle phase. So.
Yeah.
The album just came out. So.
It's yes, yeah. That's a great album.
But we haven't headlined the U.S. In quite a while.
Right.
The last time we toured the U.S. was last spring with Slayer.
Yeah.
So it'll be nice to headline again.
Yeah.
And then a little bit of time off. I'll be doing some other music, mostly in June.
Yeah.
But then July and August, the festival circuit starts. Mm. I think we're going to get really busy in August.
Yeah.
And then there's plans to do North America. We're already doing North America. South America.
Right, yeah.
And we just did Japan. And we'll probably do a headlining European tour, too. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah.
We did just to go all over Europe, but that was supporting Amon Amarth.
Yes.
Which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. But one of your own, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's going to be mostly headliners.
Cool. I've got a question from a huge Testament fan, Brett, in Canada. It says, how long will you stay with Testament?
I have to be careful how I answer because there are certain websites that I'm not going to name, but they, instead of like reporting on my tour or something really newsworthy, it's like, okay, let's find something he says in an interview and try to make it controversial. And it's so silly. I'll just say, I didn't expect to be here this long. When I came back to the band in 2005. I honestly, at that time, I didn't know we were even going to do a record.
Yeah.
But we did the Formation, the Damnation record, and then the next thing you know, we're touring with Motorhead and Heaven and Hell and Judas Priest. Mm. That was an amazing tour.
Oh, that's it.
The Metal Masters tour.
Yeah.
And then. Shows with Slayer and Megadeth. And we basically came, that reunion kind of relaunched the band.
Yeah.
And I've been here now longer than I was the first time around.
Right.
it's going really well.
Yeah.
Here's where it gets to be a slippery slope.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to be an aging metal guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still in the decade, which is, relative youth. I'm not in my 50s. I'm in my in my 40s.
Yeah.
Which is longer than I thought I'd be playing this music, because it's such youth music.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say never, but I feel like I don't want to be like one of these guys that's just going for ever. In between taking Geritol and who knows?
Who knows? Just enjoying what you're doing now.
It's working,
Okay, so as we've mentioned, you're a person who likes to keep very busy. You've been involved in many projects, as you've mentioned, as well as writing a book, Geek to Guitar Hero. Do you have any more plans like that in the works?
Was planning, that was really just a warm-up.
Right.
Originally, I just wanted to explore writing. I'm a big reader.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll read, and I'll think, it's not in an egotistical way, I don't think, but I could do this.
Mm. Yeah.
You know.
Why not?
I could. Maybe, okay, not when I'm reading, say, Philip Ross or Thomas Mann, Nobel Prize winning. I do read stuff like that, but if I read, like, contemporary stuff, and there's certain writers that inspire me to write. And there's a great writer, Chuck Klosterman, who's also a music journalist.
Right.
Who's the same generation, basically the same age. And, somehow when I read his stuff, it's very inspiring.
Mm.
And it makes me want to write.
Cool.
Henry Rollins, too, is just, with every book, he just becomes a better writer. And that's, the problem is when to play guitar, and especially on the improvisational side of things, to stay on top of that and to keep improving, it really takes a lot of time. So it's frustrating.
Just finding the time.
Yes, and I felt like when I was working on that book, I mean, I thought that would be a warm-up for many more books. But since then, I'm afraid to get back into it, because if I do, I get very into it.
Yeah.
And I would have to sort of keep up the focus on music at the same time, which I haven't figured out how to do both. Right now, I'm very focused on music and a lot of different types of music and working with some great musicians. So I just feel like I have to be so on top of that.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. Also, something interesting. Back in 2010, you became producer for Iraqi thrash band. Now, I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Is it Akrasi?
Akrasi
Kauda.
Yes.
So, and they've been the subject of a documentary as well, haven't
yes.
they? So how did that come about, and are you still working with them?
Yeah, amazingly, I just performed with them
at
a benefit right before this,
right before
coming over here, and it was great. And also Jay Weinberg, who's playing for Slipknot, he sat in as well.
Right, awesome.
They did a benefit for resettlement of refugees.
Right.
And these guys are, they're great guys. I mean, honestly, they're like people that, you know, you hope to meet if you go to metal shows. These are like the coolest fans.
Yeah.
And they play in a band. And yet they were refugees.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's a very strange anti-refugee sentiment going on. Anti-immigrant, it's very strange, and I'm very troubled by it. So this was, doing this show was kind of a response to that, and how they're feeling, because it would be very hard for them to get into the country right now. And not that it was easy when they did, and they were totally legal. But when they first came over, I got to know about them through the Vice documentary, Heavy Metal in Baghdad. And it's an amazing movie. I think anybody should see that if they haven't.
Yeah.
And I guess I was put in touch with somebody at Vice. And I was familiar with Vice, but I didn't know how big they are. I mean, they're actually a huge organization.
Right.
They kind of seem to have the impact that MTV once had, in a way, just because they're everywhere now.
Yeah.
Films, documentaries, TV shows, the magazine. And they, a person at Vice sent me the advanced copy of the film. It actually hadn't even hit theaters yet. And I was very moved by the movie. And I had a tour coming up with Testament, and we, on our itinerary was a heavy metal festival in Turkey. And at that time, the guys were temporarily sent to Turkey. Turkey was like their foster country, as they were being settled. So I invited them to the show. And that was the first time I met him.
Right.
And we just hit it off. And
yeah.
Really, really cool guys. And then the next thing you know, I get a call from Vice, and they finally got approval to resettle them in the U.S., which is not easy. And they didn't know where they were going to get sent.
Right.
So they came to the U.S., and they wanted help doing a recording. So I ended up producing their EP, which I'm very proud of.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic.
Thank you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Well, I think that's it. Thank you very much for your time, Alex.
You're welcome.
Would you like to leave a message for your fans and the listeners?
Absolutely. Without my fans and listeners and all over, and all genres of music, we couldn't be doing this. So we're just very grateful for listening to what we come up with, and hope to make you proud.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for your time, and have a great tour.
Thank you.
Thank you.